We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people." The Bible says that Christians are a peculiar people. What does that mean? You know, I've known some Christians sometime that I thought were peculiar people, but I don't think that's what he's talking about here. Sometimes I've heard people use 1 Peter 2:9 to teach that Christians are different, that they're unusual. They'll say, Christians are not like the rest of the world. You know, 1 Peter 2:9 says that Christians are a peculiar people. But that's really a misuse of this verse. That's not really what it's talking about. In 1 Peter 2:9, the idea expressed in the original language is that we are God's own people. Other translations say it this way. The New American Standard says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession." The NIV, which generally I don't care for, but it says, "A people belonging to God." Another translation says, "A purchased and a special people." That's the idea. We are peculiar in the sense that we're unique. We are the people who belong to God. In that sense, we are peculiar. Now, you know, in the Lord's church, we are the only people, those people who are part of the church that Jesus died for, that He purchased with His blood. Only those people are God's own people. And in that sense, we're peculiar. But you know, in the Lord's church, not only are we different in that we are God's only people, we're also very different if you look around the world at the denominations that surround us. Because you can see that there are some things that are very glaring, some things that are different, some things that are unique that will catch your attention very quickly. Now, over the last couple of months, I have been doing a series called Back to the Basics. And in that series, we have been looking at some first principles, some things that are basics and that every child of God ought to know. The first lesson we covered dealt with creeds and the Bible. We discussed the fact that in the Church of Christ, we don't have a creed book like most of the denominations do. We only use the Bible as our authority. Our second lesson dealt with the thief on the cross. It's a very common thing that's brought up to new Christians and new converts. We discussed that. We talked about the organization of the church was lesson number 3. And about how the Bible defines a certain pattern for the church to be organized, but many of the churches in the world don't follow that. Number 4, we discussed the type of music that God asks for. And we looked at passages in the New Testament that discuss exactly what God has requested of us pertaining to music. Lesson number 5, we dealt with the plan of salvation. Very basic lesson. Tonight is going to be lesson number 6 in the Back to the Basics series. And we're going to talk tonight about the name of the church. The name Church of Christ, or the Church of Christ, has a scriptural name. Now, such is not the case with many of the denominational churches around us. Many churches in the world have names that did not originate in the Bible. In fact, they have names that are not found anywhere in the Bible. And our plea in the Church of Christ is that men do Bible things in Bible ways, and that men would call Bible things by Bible names. And so the name is important. We have a scriptural name. Now, the first point in the lesson tonight is this. Many people in the world will say a name is not important. That's the first point. Many people say a name is not important. And people sometimes will say, they'll quote Shakespeare. Shakespeare wrote, "A rose by any other name is still a rose." And people have played off of that idea to say, well, it's not the name that matters. A name is not important. I had a man tell me on one occasion, he said, it's not the name on the sign that matters. It's what's going on inside the building that counts. And it's true that what's going on inside of the building counts. But tonight we want to ask the question, is he right when he says it's not the name on the sign that matters? Our idea is that the name is important. But people say, well, a name is not important. Sometimes they'll say there's nothing in a name. You ever heard somebody say that? I want you to observe with me tonight that men might say that the name doesn't matter, but to God it does. Such is not the case with God. Now, here's the second point tonight. I want us to observe that names do matter to God. Now, we can see that in a number of different areas. I want you to think about the first people created in the Bible, Adam and Eve. If a name is not important to God, why did God name Adam and Eve? Genesis chapter 5 and verse 2 says, "Male and female created He them, and He blessed them, and He called their name Adam in the day that they were created." Now, if there's nothing in a name, why did God bother? If names are not important and it doesn't really matter, why did He name them and then tell us what their name means, if names are irrelevant? Secondly, I want you to think about Abraham. God put so much importance on names that sometimes in the Bible He would change men's names. And of course, Abraham is an example of this. In Genesis 17 and verse 5, He said, "Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thou shalt be called Abraham, for you are the father of many nations." And so He changed His name. If names don't matter, why did He change His name? Same thing with Sarah. Her name originally was Sarai. Genesis 17 and verse 15, God said unto Abraham, "For Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but her name shall be Sarah." If names don't matter, why did He change her name? Think about Jacob. If there's nothing in a name, please explain to me why God changed Jacob's name. Remember what He changed it to? To Israel. Why did He change Jacob's name to Israel? Genesis chapter 32 and verse 18, "And He said unto him, Thy name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, because as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and thou hast prevailed." Now for me to suggest that there's nothing in a name, that reflects upon the wisdom of God. That accuses God of doing something foolish and useless, if names don't really matter to Him. And so what we see is that a name does matter to God. It is important to God. And the name that we wear today in the church is certainly no exception to this rule. I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul talking about this and how it is human names relate to the church. In the scripture reading tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, the text says this. This is Paul writing. He said, "Now this I say, that every one of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ." Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized, listen what he says, in the name of Paul? What about the name? If names don't matter, why did he bring that up? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? And the point is, of course they weren't. So why would they wear the name of Paul? He said, this is a problem. You can't wear my name. You belong to Christ, not me. Verse 14, he says, "I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say," listen what he says, "lest any should say that I baptized in my own name." Paul said, this matters. Don't you wear the name of Paul, is what he said. Don't you wear the name of Apollos. That's wrong. He said, I don't want people saying that. I'm thankful I didn't baptize many of you because I don't want you to try to wear my name. He said that would be a sin. Now, if it would be wrong to wear the Apostle Paul's name, how much more would it be wrong to wear the name of any other man? I want you to listen to the words of Martin Luther, who incidentally has a group who calls themselves by his name. Martin Luther, hundreds of years ago, wrote this. He said, "I pray you to leave my name alone. Call not yourself Lutherans, but Christians." Who is Luther? My doctrine is not mine. I've not been crucified for you. St. Paul would not let anyone call themselves after Paul or Peter, but of Christ. How then does it befit me, as a miserable bag of dust and ashes, to give my name to the children of God? Cease, my dear friends, to cling to party names and distinctions. Away with it all, and let us call ourselves Christians, after whom our doctrine comes. Lutheran said, don't call yourself by the name Luther. When he heard people doing that, he said, stop it. Don't do that. Don't call yourself after my... He said the Apostle Paul wouldn't let people call themselves by his name, much less do I want you to call yourselves by my name. But they did it anyway, and a group arose who called themselves Lutherans. But you see, Martin Luther understood something that many people in the world today don't, and that is that names do matter to God. Now here's the third point. Names matter to men. Now, men might say they don't matter. They might say there's nothing in a name. What difference does it make? A rose by any other, a name is still a rose. It matters what's going on the inside, not the name. Names don't really matter. Men say that, but they don't believe that. Names matter to men. Now, to illustrate this, I want you to think about the names that we name our animals versus the name that we name our children. Why is it that men name their dogs Fido and Satan, and they name their donkeys Rebel and Lucifer, but they name their sons James and John? Why is that? Because names matter to men. You know, not long ago, Leslie and Crystal Cox had a baby boy. Why didn't y'all name Leslie? Why didn't y'all name your son? Is Leslie here? I don't see him. Crystal, why didn't you name your son Fido? Why didn't you do that? Or Rover. How about the name Rover? You say, well, that's kind of insulting to even ask somebody. It is insulting. That's a dog's name. You don't name a person that. We understand that names matter. In fact, they gave him a good Bible name, Jonathan, because that's respectable. That's what you name a person. Don't name your child after an animal. In fact, it was kind of funny as I was thinking about this lesson this week, because I got an email from the Jensens. Some of you may remember George Jensen. He and his family were here this last summer and went out with us to the picnic at the Glasshoffs. And they are in Tanzania, Africa. And we joked about the fact because when they did their presentation, they have a guard dog named Don. And they sent me an email and they said that they are about to get another dog and they're giving serious thought to naming him Blackwell. And I said I would be honored. But why are they doing that? It's to be funny, because they're joking. Because, you see, normally you don't name a dog a person's name unless you're trying to joke or something like that. Because animals, we understand names matter. You know, it matters when we name our children, and names matter in the business world. On a Wednesday night recently, or a few months back, I did an invitation, and I referred to a diet product that existed in the early 80s. You might remember it. It was called AIDS. You remember that? There was a diet candy called AIDS. It was extremely popular. In fact, if you go to YouTube, you can type this in and look it up, and you can still find those old commercials. Well, all of a sudden, in the 1980s, it just disappeared off the shelves. Why is that? Why did people not want to buy a diet product called AIDS? I'll tell you why. Because names matter. People didn't want to buy a product to take that was called AIDS. Think about marriage. Names matter in marriage. Would a groom who is getting married want to allow his wife to take the name of some other man? Imagine they're standing before the preacher and the preacher says, "I now pronounce you Mr. and Mrs. so-and-so." And the bride says, "Wait a minute, I don't want to take his last name. I want to take," and she points out some man in the audience, says, "I want to take his name." Probably that groom is going to stop and say, "Wait a minute, don't even pronounce us married, because I'm not going to marry her if she's not going to take my name." See, that'd be an insult. Names matter to men. Now, I want us to ask the question, if names matter when it comes to naming our children and our pets and in the business world and in the marriage relationship, if a groom would be offended if his wife were to take the name of some other man, why is it that we think that the church, who is the bride of Christ, does not insult her groom, being the Lord, when we want to take another man's name? Why is it that we think that? Why do people think it doesn't matter? The name doesn't matter to the Lord. He's the groom and the church is his bride. Surely it matters to him. I want to talk about some Bible names for the church. What should we call the church? What are Bible names? There are actually a number of different designations which would be appropriate to call the church, because we find them in the Bible. Sometimes the church is simply called my church. Matthew 16:18, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." In Acts 8 and verse 1, it is simply called the church. "And at that time there arose a great persecution against the church." And so it's right to call it the church. It is right to refer to it as Christ church. It is also called the church of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, "Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus." It is called the church of Christ. Romans 16:16, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." Now, he uses it in the plural there. The churches of Christ salute you, meaning all of the congregations that belong to Christ. If you refer to the Church of Christ universal, that refers to all of the congregation. If you talk about several congregations, it is the churches of Christ. It is also called the body of Christ. Ephesians 4 and verse 12. It's called the church of the living God. 1 Timothy 3:15. "I tarry long that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God," which is the church of the living God. House of God, or the church of the living God, or Bible scriptural names appropriate to call it. It's called the church of the firstborn in Hebrews 12:23. "To the general assembly and to the church of the firstborn." And so any or all of these would be appropriate. They would be scriptural designations. It would be all right for us to refer to ourselves as the church or the North Charleston body of Christ. It's a Bible name. That's what the Lord calls His church. It would be all right and scriptural for us to call ourselves the North Charleston Church of God. It'd be scriptural, probably not wise, because people might confuse us with the denomination by that name. We could simply be called the church, the North Charleston Church. Any of these things are scriptural designations and would be pleasing to the Lord. Now, I want to talk about some Bible names of church members. If the Lord does care what we call the church as a whole, does He care what we call ourselves individually? Does it matter how we refer to ourselves as followers of the Lord. Well, of course it does. All of these principles we stated about the names still apply here. And you know, the Lord's church is different in this respect also. What are followers of the Lord called in the New Testament? Well, just like there are different designations for the name of the church, there are also different designations for those who are members of the church. So what should we call ourselves? Here's what the Bible says. Sometimes followers of the Lord are called disciples. Acts 20 and verse 7 says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them." Now, the word disciple means a learner. It means a follower. And so when we talk about a disciple, it needs to be qualified, because we read in the Bible about the disciples of John in Matthew 9:14, about the disciples of the Pharisees in Mark 2:18, the disciples of Moses in John 9:28, and we read about the disciples of Christ. It's appropriate for us to call ourselves the disciples of Christ. We are learners, followers of Christ. The Bible also uses the term saint. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. It's appropriate for Christians to refer to themselves as saints. In fact, I heard a Christian one day make the statement. He said, "Boy, I tell you, it's not that I'm a saint or something." He was referring to himself. He said, "I try to live right. It's not that I'm a saint." But I thought, you are a saint. If you're a Christian, you're a saint. 1 Corinthians 1, 2 calls Christians saints. Now, the Roman Catholic Church has confused us about this, because they've designated a special group of people as saints. And you have to meet certain qualifications to reach sainthood. It's not in the Bible. Anywhere in the Bible. In the Bible, if you're a Christian, you are a saint. We can be called disciples of Christ. We can be called saints. We can be called the beloved of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. We can be called brethren. 1 Corinthians 15 and 6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at one time. We can be called the sons of God. Romans 8 and verse 14. We can be called the children of God. 1 John 3 and verse 14. Of course, that shows our relationship with God. He's our Father. We are His children. We can be called heirs of God. Romans 8 and verse 17. And what that shows, if we're an heir, is it's referring to our inheritance. We have an inheritance coming from the Father. We're also called a royal priesthood. Did you know that if you are a member of the Church of Christ, you're a member of the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, that you're a priest? The Bible says that, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, the fact that you're a priest means that you can offer spiritual sacrifices through Jesus Christ. I offer the fruit of my lips when I sing. I offer the fruit of my lips as a sacrifice to God when I pray to Him. That's the sacrifice He asked for today. Not animal sacrifices, not incense, not things like that. But today, we sing and we offer a sacrifice from the heart. And in that sense, every Christian is a priest. But we're also called simply Christians. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, the Bible says, "And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch." Now, sometimes people have tried to minimize that, and they've tried to downplay it, and they said, well, you know, it was the enemies of Christianity who came up with that name. It was a term of derision. It was an insult, the name Christian. But I want you to see that that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the name Christian was of divine authority. In Isaiah, back in the Old Testament, Isaiah 62 and verse 2, the Lord was talking to His people, and He said, "Thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall call." He told His people then, there's a day coming in which I'm going to change the name of my people. I'm going to give them a new name, and He said, it's going to come from me. I'm going to come up with this name. When you come to the New Testament, Acts 11 and verse 26 says, the disciples were first called Christians. Where did that name come from? The Lord said, I'm going to give my people a new name. And then we see the name they were given is Christians. In Acts 26 and 28, King Agrippa said to Paul, after Paul had talked to him about righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come, King Agrippa said, "With but little persuasion wouldest thou fain make me a Christian?" In other words, with this little talk you have given, do you think you're going to persuade me to become a Christian? And Paul responded by saying, yes, that's my hope. And not just you, but every person in this room, I hope, will become a Christian. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 6, Peter said, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. And so what is it proper to call the followers of the Lord today? We're disciples, saints, beloved of God, brethren, sons of God, children of God, heirs of God, a royal priesthood, Christians. All of these are names that the Lord calls His people. Now, what is the point of all this? The point that we're making is this. There are appropriate ways to refer to God's people, and there are inappropriate ways to refer to God's people. The point that we're making is there is something in a name, and there are certain names that are scriptural, and there are certain names that are not. And friends, the Lord's church is different in this respect. We only want to be called by a name that has gotten God's stamp of approval, for which He says, I am pleased with this name. Please use this name. Now, while it is true that in the Church of Christ, we believe that method and system should be used in the Lord's work, I am not a Methodist. While it is true that I believe that we should have bishops, the Greek word being episkopos, that we should have episkopos to oversee the congregation, I am not an Episcopalian. I am sure that we should seek to have elders, the Greek word being presbyteros, to lead the church. But I am not a Presbyterian. I believe that each congregation is independent because the Bible teaches that, but I'm not a congregationalist. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it takes immersion to constitute Bible baptism, but I'm not a Baptist. I am confident that Christians should be holy, but I'm not a holiness. My hope is in the fact that Christ will come again one day, but I'm not an Adventist. I know from the Scriptures that the Lord's church is universal. The word means Catholic. Catholic means universal. But I'm not a Catholic. But you know, based on the reasoning of some folks, since I believe all of these things, that I ought to call myself a Methodist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Congregationalist, Baptist, Holiness, Catholic, Christian, hyphenated Christian. But you know, all of that's unnecessary because I see in the Bible that the disciples of Christ were simply called Christians. You never read in the Bible about a hyphenated Christian. I heard an old preacher say this one time. He said, when people will ask him what he is religiously, he said, I will tell them I'm a Christian. And when they ask me what kind, he said, I tell them I'm a good one. And that's a good answer, because the Bible doesn't talk about all of these designations and all of these hyphens when it comes to Christianity. I want you to listen to the words of Charles Spurgeon. He was perhaps the most well-known Baptist preacher who ever lived. Even he recognized the truth of this fact that we're pointing out tonight. Charles Spurgeon wrote, I say of the name Baptist, let it perish, but let the name of Christ last forever. He said, I look forward with pleasure to the day when there will not be a Baptist living. I hope they will soon all be gone. I hope the Baptist name will soon perish, but let Christ's name live forever. And he's right about that. Even though he was part of a denomination you don't read about in the Bible, he understood this point. He said it does matter to God what we call ourselves, and this made-up term is not right. He said, let's go to the Bible. Let's use Bible designations. Friends, there is something in a name, and the Lord sees this so very clearly. And though the world may hold to the names of men, and they may hold to uninspired designators, the Lord's church is different. And our plea is very simple. We plead with people, let's just go back to the Bible and only the Bible. Let's just be Christians. And let's just only be Christians. Not Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterians, but let's just be what they were in the Bible. And that is Christians. This evening, you can do that. You can do exactly what they did in the first century by doing exactly, following exactly what they did in the first century. When the Lord's church was established in Acts chapter 2, the disciples of the Lord began to follow the apostles' doctrine. Now, that started by obeying the gospel, hearing it, believing it, repenting of their sins, confessing their faith in Christ, and being baptized in water for the remission of their sins. Once they did that, Acts 2:47 says the Lord added them to the church, and they began in one accord to teach the same thing, to believe the same thing, and to be called the same thing, and that is Christians. Today, that's what we want. And we plead with people, lay aside these man-made doctrines that are found in the Bible, or that are not found in the Bible, and simply go back to doing what they did.